Hey guys, it's Ryan. I want to tell you about my new pastime, Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has been around for over a decade, delivering the most fun you can have online. Play social casino style games for free anytime, anywhere. So sign up at chumbacasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 21 plus.
Never go to the second location. Always trust your gut.
Hello, my name is Chrissy Champagne. You are listening to Residue, a true crime podcast dedicated to keeping you paranoid. Residue is not just another true crime podcast, but a necessary tool for those who want to understand the dangers lurking in the real world. Residue is created, hosted, edited, researched, and produced by me, Chrissy Champagne. If you would love to help out the show, the best thing to do would be hit that follow button and also leave a 5-star review. If you do leave a 5-star review, I will be mailing out cute little stickers and thank you notes because I do appreciate you all so very much. Just shoot me a DM and a follow on Instagram at Residue Podcast, Facebook Residue, a true crime podcast, and on TikTok you can find two accounts. We have Residue Podcast for all the true crime lovers and Unlocking Your Memory, Champagne Chrissy. That is just a little something for all of your Gen X, 80s, 90s nostalgia needs, because let's be honest, you guys, I cannot handle true crime all the time. So come hang with me on those pages. And today, thank you for joining us for this week's episode. This is titled, Someone is Lying. As always, listener discretion is advised. September 6th, 2014, in Coaldale, PA, in a peaceful wooded area near the coal mining town of Coaldale, Jamie Schneider, a local resident, was out mushroom foraging when he decided to step off trail and see if he could find anything different. And that is when he noticed something strange. He noticed some clothing, and then he saw a boot with a bone sticking out. Nearby was a human skull, and this startled and terrified Jamie. Jamie runs out of the woods, calls the police, and when the police arrived, they found numerous scattered bones in that area. The small Coaldale police force called in the Pennsylvania State Police, and this was now declared a crime scene. 8 months earlier, on January 21st, 2014, three friends entered those same woods for a bush party. A bush party is a local tradition of drinking, having a little bonfire out in the forest. A blizzard hit that night, so Corey Samuel's girlfriend, Tara, was a little concerned as to why he needed to have a boys' night out in the woods that night. But Corey left with his two friends, Oliver and Stanley, and they headed into the woods. By morning, 24-year-old Corey Samuels had not returned home, and his girlfriend Tara was freaking out. She's calling him, she's calling Stanley, Oliver, no one's answering their phones. She finally gets a hold of Stanley, and he tells her that he hasn't seen Corey since they left the woods together. Okay, so now Tara is losing her mind. She goes all the way over to Corey's sister's house. Her name is Kristen. She's banging on Kristen's door in a panic. Kristen gets to the door and finds out that her brother Corey is missing. Corey and his sister Kristen were 7 years apart in age, but they were close, and they really bonded over the same heavy metal music. They loved to just go see bands together, listen to music together. Corey always loved the military from a very young age, and so when he was in high school, he joined the ROTC. And then after graduating high school, Corey joined the Marines. His first tour of duty in Afghanistan really made him question his choices in wanting to be in the military. When he came home, he didn't know what his place in life was, and that is when he met Tara. Corey and Tara quickly started dating and then moved in together. The couple was living together for almost 2 years the night that Corey decided to go have a boys' night in the woods. Tara did not like this idea, didn't understand why he had to go. And so Kristen, Corey's sister, thought, you know what? Maybe they just got into a little fight and Corey didn't want to come home. But Kristen keeps calling Corey's phone and he's not answering. And she says that that is highly unusual because Corey always picks up her calls. As the hours turn into days, concern is growing, and the suspicion is right on Tara at this point because Kristen says Corey and Tara did not get along. Their relationship was very strained. Tara says otherwise. She says that her and Corey had a lovely relationship, and she was just a little upset that he wanted to go out in a snowstorm that night. She didn't understand why he had to go. After 3 days, Corey is officially reported missing, and the police start digging into his past. And we all know the spouse, the live-in girlfriend, the live-in anything is going to be the first person that they're going to start looking at. And they want Tara to come in, give them an interview, let them know a little bit more about what happened the night that Corey left, but they can't find Tara anywhere because Tara went out of town. She is officially gone, and they do not know where she is, so... I mean, come on, that's going to make it look even more suspicious. But January 24th, 2014, this is only 3 days after Corey's been missing, Tara comes back into town, heads down to the police station, and gives them all of the info that they ask for. She tells them the two friends that Corey left the house with that night. 20-year-old Oliver Trezari and 16-year-old Stanley Kralik. Police then secure a search warrant for Tara and Corey's apartment. They go to the apartment looking for signs of a struggle, if maybe there was a fight. They're under the assumption that it is possible that Tara was upset that Corey wanted to go out for the night with Oliver and Stanley, and when he came home, maybe they got into an argument and something bad happened. But they get to the apartment and nothing is out of place. They actually say it's a very well-kept apartment. Nothing looks suspicious whatsoever. So the next step is going to be to find Stanley and Oliver and get them into the police station.
Step back into the world of 90s true crime with the Unsolved Couple podcast. Join Ben and me, Sierra, as we dive into the iconic TV show Unsolved Mysteries, providing the updates you missed out on as a kid. It's the perfect mix of nostalgia and true crime. Join us every Tuesday as we recap your original gateway drug into true crime, Unsolved Mysteries.
20-year-old Oliver Trezari comes in to the police station first, and Oliver says that the three of them went into the woods to drink beer. As they were walking into the woods, Corey said something mean about Stanley's ex-girlfriend, and Stanley got upset, started arguing with Corey. Then Corey walked away from both of them in a rage, they say, and that is when Oliver and Stanley decided, fuck this, let's leave. And they leave Corey in the woods alone, never saw him again. Now, Stanley comes into the station. 16-year-old Stanley comes in with his dad because he is a minor. Stanley tells the same exact story. Police ask both of the boys to take them to the area where they last saw Corey. The two boys bring police to the area that they last saw Corey, and the next scenario going through the officers' minds is the argument happened between the boys. Maybe Corey took off on his own and he fell into a mining pool. There are so many different holes in this area that he could have fallen into. This is a pretty rough area in these woods. They get 30 people searching on the ground for Corey, and then they also bring in 9 dogs. Police also had a search warrant for Corey's cell phone records, but that was going to take a couple days to come in. So at this point, literally everyone is a suspect to them. They have no idea what happened. This could have been an accident. This could have been foul play. No idea till those cell phone records come back. But when they do receive the cell phone records, the last call made from Corey's phone was at 12:10 a.m. on January 21st, and this phone call was to 911. They find out that this call never connected. It was the absolute last phone activity. The state police have to go back and interview everyone now, Tara, Oliver, Stanley, because this is now a case of, was Corey lost? Is that why he called 911? Did Corey fall and try to call 911? Or was he in a struggle with someone? Corey went missing in January of 2014. It is now June 2014, and authorities are alerted that someone found human remains about 15 miles west of Coaldale. This body was transported to the medical examiner's office, and it was declared that this is not Corey Samuels. This person was murdered by an acquaintance after leaving a party. Just another insane tragedy happening at the exact same time as they're trying to find Corey Samuels. At this point, Corey has been missing for 5 months. It wouldn't be until that September day in 2014 that that hiker found those bones in the woods that Corey's family was finally going to get some answers. On September 6th, 2014, at 11 p.m. at night, police show up to Corey's sister's house, Kristen, with the boots and the gloves that the hiker found. And the moment they show her these two items, she just falls to the floor. She falls to the floor and says, "That is his glove. That is his boot." Upon examining the bones, the skull, it is revealed that Corey suffered trauma injuries to the skull and rib areas with blunt force trauma and sharp force trauma. This was a violent death. So everyone's about to be brought back in again because police know someone is lying. But it is going to be pretty hard for police to bring in Oliver Trezari because he is gone. No one knows where he is. He went off grid, and obviously that's very concerning, but they do end up bringing in 16-year-old Stanley Kralik. So Stanley's daddy brings him in, and Stanley has absolutely no reaction to the fact that they tell him, "Hey, we found your friend Corey's remains." They say Stanley just sat there, composed, chill. Then Stanley tells them something that he never told them in the first interview. He says that when they went into the woods, they came upon a high school party. And Corey walked towards the party and he wanted to go hang out with these high school kids. But Oliver and Stanley said, "No, we're not hanging out with high school kids," says the 16-year-old. So they decided they were just going to leave. And that's actually now the last time that they saw Corey. So Stanley doesn't understand that you can't keep lying. So you can't go to interviews and tell a different story every single time. So the next logical step is, let's give Stanley a lie detector test. And surprise, surprise, Stanley fails. So they bring him back into the interview room again, and they get a different story. But the whole entire time, Stanley is always calm, cool, and collected. Like nothing rattles this little boy. The polygraph isn't enough to keep him there and put him under arrest. So he was able to just get up and leave. Police really need to hear Oliver's story now, and they need to find him. And thankfully, they do pretty quickly. They find out that Oliver is in Reading, Pennsylvania, which is about 30 miles away from Coaldale. Police quickly get themselves on over to Reading, PA, and Oliver just comes to the door like he was expecting them, like he just knew they were on their way. But when he comes to the door, he has a Bible and a notebook, and the police get him into the car. They drive him to the station. They read him his Miranda rights, and he says, "I'm ready to tell you the truth," with his Bible in hand. So here is Oliver's story. Oliver says that Stanley believed that Corey had wronged Stanley's ex-girlfriend. Now, Stanley believed that Corey had sexually assaulted Stanley's ex-girlfriend. Oliver Trezari told this to The Morning Call in June 2018. This is an alleged sexual assault. Oliver said that Stanley was very upset about this and said he can't be friends with someone like this. Stanley tells Oliver, quote, Corey needs to die. And Oliver says that the plan was to lure Corey into the woods under the guise of having a guy's night out. They walk through the woods and they would take him by surprise by hitting him from behind and taking him out. The plan is, let's bring a shovel and we'll attack him from behind. If he asks why we're bringing a shovel, we'll tell him it's for the fire pit that we're going to build. So Oliver said that originally he would be the first one to attack Corey, but while they were walking, he whispered to Stanley, I don't know if I could do this. And Stanley said, give me the fucking shovel. Stanley hit Corey in the back of the head, and that first blow did not knock Corey out, so Stanley hit him again, and Corey fell to the ground. The two started struggling while Corey was saying, I thought we were friends. He then hit Corey over and over and over with the shovel. That is when Oliver took some turns. Then Corey stopped moving. This is fucking horrifying. And then Oliver tells the police that he looked at his own hands and he thought, oh my God, these are the hands of a man who just killed someone. Then he realized he didn't feel any remorse. Nothing. The two boys then start removing Corey's belongings, and Corey was known to always wear a rosary as a necklace. They took that off of him, they took his wallet, and then they dragged his body further into the woods and covered it with snow and branches. And of course, Stanley keeps the rosary beads as a little prize for himself in his basement, hanging on a little hook. He also just had the shovel sitting in his backyard like nothing happened. During this entire interrogation, Oliver's acting a little creepy, so police are taking all of this with a grain of salt. I mean, when someone tells you, I'm about to tell you the truth, we can't always believe they're about to tell us the truth. It also didn't help Oliver much that he was telling the officers that he was a prophet and that God speaks to him, so they were a little like, okay, we don't know if we can believe this guy fully, but let's go get Stanley. And a warrant is issued for Stanley's house, and that is where the troopers immediately find the shovel and the rosary beads. And Oliver was right. They were in those exact same spots. 16-year-old Stanley Kralik is placed under arrest for murder, and Stanley denies it all. He says that it was all Oliver, that Stanley just went along for a walk in the woods and Oliver did all of the swinging of the shovel. He says, I want no part of this, Oliver, and he just left. He said that then Oliver caught back up to him, ran up to him in the woods and said, yo, man, that was fun. Stanley never told police because he was too scared. He was afraid of Oliver. And then police said, well, but why are the rosary beads at your house? And Stanley says, I don't know. Had no explanation for that one. Stanley says that he did hit Corey twice in the face with his fist, but that's all he did. The entire thing was Oliver. And again, Stanley kept changing his story. But Oliver is given a plea deal. He needs to plead guilty to third-degree murder in exchange for testifying against Stanley. So June 2016, 2 years after Corey's remains are found, the trial begins for Stanley Kralik. And he's going to be tried as an adult because this was premeditated murder. Oliver testifies against Stanley. On the stand, Oliver describes the moment that he looked back at Corey's body in the snow and he saw Corey on his cell phone. And maybe that was the 911 call, but he didn't do anything. He just kept walking away with Stanley. In exchange for his testimony, Oliver was given 15 to 30 years in prison for third-degree murder. The prosecution had a surprise new witness, so the entire trial takes a surprise turn. They learn that Stanley went to school the day after murdering Corey and spoke with a female friend in the hallway. He told her, hey, I just killed a man. And she didn't believe him. He said, look at this, pulls up his pants and shows her his bloody socks. Wears the same bloody socks to school the next day and shows them off. Oh, Stanley. So, after 3 days of testimony and 2 hours of deliberation, the jury comes back with their decision. The decision is not something that the family wanted to hear because the first thing the judge says is first-degree murder, not guilty. Second-degree murder, not guilty. Third-degree, guilty. So the jury decided that if Oliver was going to get third-degree murder, then Stanley should also get the same. Stanley Kralik received a 20 to 40-year sentence. And Corey's mom says, "You left my child in the woods." She believes, "You take a life, you should lose yours." Until next time, stay safe and stay paranoid. Stay paranoid.
Reddick here from 2311 Racing. Game night's fun until someone spends 5 minutes lining up one shot. Chalk, breathe, re-chalk, still aiming. While they figure it out, I fire up Chumba Casino. I can spin anywhere, anytime, and there's always a new social casino game every week. Spins happen way faster than that shot. Play now at ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
Sponsored by Chumba Casino. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.